Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. This is Marty McDermott, the president of Franchise Interviews, and I can't start today's show without speaking about NeoPost and their IS-280 postage meter. So think about all the time small businesses spend to process and send mail and packages. You know, if we spend just 15 minutes a day doing it, that's more than 7 full days a year focused on mailing and shipping. And that's just crazy. I recently spoke to NeoPost, and they told me that one of the smartest things to start doing today to save time and money is to use the IS-280 postage meter to handle all our mail processing without ever leaving my office. So here's how it works. The IS-280 weighs and then automatically tells me what postage amount my mail or package needs. Not only do I pay 6% less to send first-class mail, but time's also saved by not having to run to the post office in Easton for postage. The IS-280 allows you to spend more time managing business and less time managing mail. Now, here's the great part. For a limited time, our listeners can get 6 months free by using the promo code FRANCHISE. All you have to do is visit neopost280.com/franchise and enter your zip code to see if you qualify, followed by the promo code FRANCHISE. To lock in 6 months free. That's neopost280.com/franchise.
Blog Talk Radio.
Franchise Interviews. From Easton, Pennsylvania to Sydney, Australia, you're listening to Franchise Interviews. Franchise Interviews. Welcome to Franchise Interviews. Franchise Interviews has been giving an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship. Listen to interviews with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and attorneys. And now, welcome your host, Marty McDermott, and Franchise Interviews.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to a very special edition of Franchise Interviews, where for over 11 years now, we've been asking the franchisepreneurs one-on-one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott. I'm the president of Franchise Interviews, and we have a great show today. We're meeting with Gary Roth, the founder of Kids First Swim Schools Franchise. And Kids First Swim Schools is based on the belief that all children should know how to swim, and they've made this their mission to spread this notion nationally through franchising. We're going to talk to Gary about that in just a moment. On Franchise Interviews. So stick around because we have a great show.
The Stone Coat Franchise Opportunity. Are you looking for a unique and lucrative franchise opportunity? If so, take a look at Stone Coat. With a patented process which creates a true stone finish on almost any wall or ceiling, Stone Coat is a true game-changing product in the multi-billion dollar construction industry. Stone Coat is applied faster, cleaner, and cheaper than conventional quarried stone, which saves both time and money. With advantages in remodel and new construction of both residential and commercial projects, Stone Coat is a true crossover product. The Stone Coat Franchise Opportunity provides a low startup cost, low operating expenses, comprehensive training, ongoing support, and no royalty payments. For more information on the Stone Coat Franchise Opportunity, go to www.stonecoatfranchise.com. That's www.stonecoatfranchise.com or call us at 972-380-2700. That's 972-380-2700.
Franchise Teacher.
Would you like to know how to franchise your concept or grow your franchise business?
Meet the experts at Franchise Teacher.
The goal of Franchise Teacher is to teach, coach, consult, and advise. The team of experts at Franchise Teacher will evaluate your business model and present you with a winning business strategy.
Franchise Teacher will help you decide whether or not your concept works and if it's franchisable. Franchise Teacher is proud to have over 30 years of experience in franchising as both franchisees and franchisors.
Franchise Teacher are developers of over a dozen franchise systems, which include brick and mortar as well as home-based concepts of nearly 3,000 combined franchise locations.
Whether you need to add more units or get more customers, Franchise Teacher can help. We will teach.
Franchise Teacher will help you learn our proven system.
Coach.
Franchise Teacher will help you provide a game plan to succeed.
Consult.
Franchise Teacher will make sure you stay on track.
And advise.
Franchise Teacher will help you learn from our over 30 years of experience in franchising as both franchisees and franchisors. Take advantage of our free, no-obligation phone consultation. Simply go to franchiseteacher.com or call us at 561-385-3032.
That's franchiseteacher.com or call us at 561-385-3032.
Hi, this is Connie McDermott, Administrative Assistant for Franchise Interviews, LLC, and you're listening to Franchise Interviews.
Franchise Interviews. From Easton, Pennsylvania to Sydney, Australia, you're listening to Franchise Interviews. Franchise Interviews.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to a very special edition of Franchise Interviews, where for over 11 years now, we've been asking the Franchipreneurs one-on-one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott. I'm the president of Franchise Interviews, and as we were saying earlier, we have a great show today. We're meeting with Gary Roth, the founder of Kids First Swim Schools Franchise. And Kids First Swim Schools is based on the belief that all children should know how to swim, and they've made this their mission to spread this notion nationally through franchising. Hi, Gary. How are you? Welcome to the show.
Good, Marty. Good morning to you.
Thanks for coming on the show, Gary. We always like to ask our guests, where are you calling from this morning?
Calling from Baltimore, Maryland.
Oh, nice. Is it snowing down there today, Gary? We got hit with snow up here in Easton this morning.
No. Actually, we had a little bit of a glaze of ice, but no. We're not. You're
good.
In the snow belt up there.
We sure are. We can't get away from it, you know. But, you know, when I was reading your story, Gary, you know, I was really fantastic because you are someone, you know, you took your lifelong passion, you know, and you turned it into this amazing business. I had to ask you, you know, before we even got to the questions, I mean, did you know, you know, like, did you always have the entrepreneurial bug, I guess we could say? Because you really come from corporate America, don't you?
Yes. No, I think I always had. When I was a kid, yeah. I owned a lot of different businesses. I split firewood. I mowed lawns. I did some pretty interesting things to try to build a business for myself. But I went the conventional route and went into corporate America back in the 70s.
That's fantastic. Maybe you could talk to our listeners a little bit about, you know, the brief history of Kids First Swim Schools, because I thought you really have an amazing history, Gary.
Yeah, well, thank you. You can't really separate out the history of Kids First without from the life of Gary Roth. You know, I've always grown up around water. I used to swim every day at a community pool in the Philadelphia area, and then my family moved to a lake community in North Jersey, and I've just always been around water all my life. I swam on swim teams. I was a lifeguard. I coached swimming lessons, and then gravitated into coaching swim teams.
Right.
And it's been, even when I went into corporate America, I spent my evenings and I spent my weekends coaching competitive swim teams. So, I'm 63. I've got 45 years of hanging around pools. Kids and working with them, and it's just in my blood.
It must be wonderful for you too, because this is your passion, you know. To get to do this every day and then to get to turn it into, you know, something, you know, really big, you know, which I think is fantastic. And, you know, I was reading a couple interviews with you, Gary, you know, and you mentioned something interesting, you know, because I always had this perception that, you know, teaching, you know, swimming is rocket science. And I remember you saying in one of your interviews that it's really not rocket science, right? It comes down to like just a couple of basic elements. Maybe you could talk a little bit about that, because I thought that was very interesting.
Yeah, a lot of folks would like to make whatever they're doing or whatever they're selling
right.
more complicated than it really needs to be.
Right.
When I work with adults, adults are really interesting to work with as opposed to
mm-hmm.
children, because they can they understand advanced concepts, and I can explain to an adult that look, swimming isn't this mystery behind the big curtain. It's basically three skills. You need buoyancy. In other words, you need to be able to keep yourself on the surface of the water. You need to be able to propel yourself. And the human being uses its arms and its legs to swim and propel themselves through the water. And then you need some degree of breath control. You need to be able to supply oxygen to the body while it's engaged in that activity. And when I work with adults, I'll ask them, do you know how to use your arms and your legs to propel yourself on land? And
right.
Everybody will say, well, of course.
Sure.
And I said, and do you know how to supply oxygen to your body while you're engaged in activities on land? Well, of course.
Right.
I said, so let me guess. If I can teach you how to float, if I
right.
can give you buoyancy, do you think I can teach you how to swim? And they,
right.
and of course. And it's that simple. There's three primary skills to swimming. And if you want to remove the curtain, you explain it like that to them. Now, it's a little bit more sophisticated than that.
Right,
I could go
right.
into one timing, et cetera, but really in its simplest form, it's three primary skills. It's buoyancy, propulsion, and breath control.
And, you know, it's such an important business too, Gary. You know, one of the things I was unaware of is the number of, you know, unfortunately, you know, childhood deaths throughout, you know, a whole course of a year. I had a cousin when I was, I guess, about 13 years old, he was about 10. He almost drowned in a pool, and it was a terrible experience. He lived in the city, Brooklyn, New York, so he wasn't really exposed to swimming, and somehow he ended up in the deep section and went under. And thank God, you know, that we were able to get him out. But, I mean, it's a pretty big problem here in the United States, isn't it?
Well, and it's only growing because, you know, if you go back 50 years, families – you know, didn't stray very far from home
right.
for their vacations or their free time. Now people climb on a jet and fly to the Bahamas or fly to
mm-hmm.
Hawaii or wherever they're going. And let's face it, the world is two-thirds covered by water, so
right.
they're likely to be exposed to water at some point. And knowing how to handle yourself around it, and to be safe around it is a critical, I think, lesson for any child in life. And I really do think no matter where you are, you ought to invest in learning how to handle yourself around water.
That's
we see right now, quite a few of our customers coming. We're primarily located in Philadelphia, Baltimore,
mm-hmm.
and Washington, D.C. market. And we get quite a bit of our business coming from inside the beltways. And these people would be people that you typically, you know, they don't have, you know, necessarily lakes and ponds and pools
right.
available to them. But they go on vacation to Ocean City, Maryland or Atlantic City,
mm-hmm.
New Jersey. And, they're going to be around hotel pools. They're going to be around the
right.
ocean. And you want these children to understand the basics of at least survival around water.
Right. That's so important. At what point, Gary, did you know them? I mean, when did the light bulb go off and say, you know what, we're ready to franchise this concept. We're ready to take this on a national level.
Well, you know, that it was really something we grew into
mm-hmm.
more than it was part of the original plan. The original plan, again, my background, I was an executive in corporate America. I'd been to lots of and I was one of the individuals who was tagged as
mm-hmm.
Having the potential to one day become the president of the company. I was sent to think
right.
tanks down in Raleigh-Durham, and my skills were always being assessed. But unfortunately, in corporate America, there's some people that are pulling the wagon, and there's some people just sitting in the wagon and
right.
going for a ride. And I guess maybe in my mid-40s, I realized I wanted to do something else with my life. And I wanted to do something that I was passionate about. And so we started a swimming school, and that we took the profits from the first one, built a second one, built a third one. Today we own 30 of them.
Wow.
All of our schools are organically grown, in the sense that I don't borrow money to grow the company. Banks are a little reticent anyway to lend you money to dig a 60,000 gallon hole in the ground,
right,
and fill it with water. For the most part, we just finance the growth of the company off of the profits of the company.
Right.
And we've been able to build 30 of them. You know, we've been at it 17 years, and we've built 30 of them. I guess our southernmost school is in Charleston, South Carolina, and our northernmost school is out in Commack, Long Island. But the bulk of them are here in the Mid-Atlantic, in the Philly, Baltimore,
mm-hmm.
and Washington, D.C. market. And if we want to take the concept and start to spread the concept and the business, then we want to bring other folks' capital into the game and let people
right.
have the opportunity that I've had. But you can't do that until you've acquired sufficient intellectual capital.
Right.
I see some people out there peddling franchises of this and that, and they own one or two corporate locations.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, what I knew about this industry when I owned one or two locations is nothing compared to what I know today, having owned 30 locations in three different markets, working with 30 different landlords,
right.
Having 30 different managers. I mean, you know, different personalities. You learn by doing, and now we finally acquired, I think, the intellectual capital to be able to honestly say to somebody, look, if you want advice, if you want to build a business, we've got the experience and we've got the background to be able to help you. And in that light, Marty, one of the things we've done is very early on in the process, I was using a different contractor to build each one of these locations. And we were literally reinventing the wheel every time we did it. And I said, this has got to stop. And we formed our own construction company. And now I have a construction
right.
company that built the last 27 schools. And they have carried forward the lessons learned, which is very, very important. And I built that company before I even thought about franchising. We started thinking about franchising about 5-6 years ago.
Right.
We've been slow and steady in terms of building the franchise company. We still have a lot to learn about the business ourselves, and every year is a learning experience for us. But I think we're finally at the point where we can go to a third party and be able to say to them, look, we understand this business. We understand the challenges you're going to face, and we're prepared to give you good advice.
It was clever too, you know, as you said, Gary, you know, the learning process of, you know, just going through this and building the corporate locations, you know, is that, you know, by starting your construction company, I guess now there's even probably, I guess you could say, more consistency, right, to the franchise, I imagine,
yeah.
You know, it, like you said, you don't have to reinvent the wheel, do you?
Absolutely. I mean, we've learned all the lessons that are to be learned. One of the critical lessons is, for instance, since we build in shopping centers, negative pressure. The pool room has to have negative pressure, where it's literally we're extracting more air, more cubic feet of air every hour than we're supplying to it, and we're doing
right.
that through venting out the ceiling. Now that through a ceiling fan. Now that gets expensive because you're creating hot air and then you're venting it. But on the other hand,
right.
if you don't and you have positive pressure, all that moist, steamy air is going to go into the adjacent spaces. It's going to condense, and then it's going to create problems for you. You know, when your drop ceilings become stained, and the fascia on the building becomes stained. So something as simple as negative pressure, and I could probably go on and on for a half hour alone on the different lessons
right.
we learned. But you take that lesson and you apply it to the next one and the next one and the next one.
That's the beauty of franchising too, isn't it, Gary? You know, is that, you know, your franchisees or people getting involved in the franchise, they don't have to make the same mistakes that you've made, you know, and you know, you've had, you know, your successes and you've had your mistakes and you know, so, and you learn from them. So when the franchisees come into it, they don't have to make those same mistakes, do they?
Now, just as a bizarre example of that, we had one of the municipalities in the area try to close one of our sites down for combined chlorine. And we just didn't understand what the problem was. But we had to defend ourselves because the water was crystal clear. We weren't having,
right.
There was no evidence of chloramines in the facility. And it took us $250,000 to defend ourselves. We lost the first case, but the second case we brought in an expert from Purdue University's Department of Civil Engineering, and he
wow.
was the one that was able to point out that that test that they were using fails 95% of the time. And the same judge that heard the first case reversed his decision and ruled in our favor, and the state of Maryland has stopped, and I believe most states have stopped, using that particular test for combined chlorine. Had I been a small one-time operator, I wouldn't be able to fight them on that, but we were able to do that. And now if one of my franchisees comes to me and says, hey, you know, local jurisdictions making some noise about combined chlorine, we're in a position to say to them, look, we got it. We've already won that case in court. Here are the facts. Here's the ruling by the judge in Maryland. And you know, they're not going to have to go through the painful lessons that I went through trying to figure out what the heck's wrong with this combined chlorine test. So that's just one bizarre example of the lessons learned that we can pass along.
That's terrific. The industry, too, I mean, I guess it's safe to say, I mean, you're part of a huge industry, Gary, and it seems like, you know, because of the problems of children's death, you know, there must be growth in the industry as well. Are there any, like, hard numbers as far as, you know, how big the industry actually is?
Sure. We've got – I can give you some stats. Typically, the industry is described as being a $5 billion swimming
yeah.
industry.
Mm-hmm.
The U.S. Swim School Association out of Phoenix, Arizona, is probably the largest association for swim school owners. They have 375 domestic members and 25 international members, so they got 400 members. And these members range from people teaching in their backyard pools to people who are doing what we're doing, which we're going in and we're building a $500,000, $600,000 facility in strip shopping centers.
Right.
Know, so it runs the gamut from small operators to large operators. But there's more and more people coming into it. When I signed my first lease, my landlord looked at me with crossed eyes and said, you're going to do what? And it's like, well, we're going to dig this 60,000-gallon hole in your building and fill it with water. And they said, well, Mr. Roth, we'd like you to give us $10,000 in cash to set aside so that if or when your concept fails, we'll have that $10,000 to fill in your hole. That's what I had to do. You know, you do what you need
right.
to do to get going. Well, fast forward 17 years, we own 30 locations and no landlord is making those kinds of requirements of us. They can go and they can. In fact, many of our landlords will bring to our attention another location they have here or another location they have there, and they'll say,
right.
"Oh, we're interested in. I know you're up in Easton, but I've had a couple of proposals to do something in Allentown, and eventually we'll be there. But right now." We're sticking with the Route 95 corridor and heavier population centers than that. And that's where franchising becomes a viable option. Since we're focusing on 95, if we want to build in Reading, Pennsylvania, or Pittsburgh,
mm-hmm.
Pennsylvania, or Atlanta, Georgia, then why not get somebody else involved with that? We can teach you how to teach children how to swim, and we can build your facility
right.
for you.
Right.
But we're just not, we don't have the infrastructure to be able to support an operation down in Atlanta at this time.
That's terrific. The majority of our listeners, Gary, we call them aspiring franchisepreneurs. You know, most of them know that they want to get into franchising, but we've learned, you know, from doing the show over a decade now that, you know, a lot of them in the beginning are really confused as far as, you know, which direction to go because there's just so much out there today. Why would prospective franchisees be drawn to the Kids First Swim School's franchise opportunity?
Well, I would say that, number one, I would recommend anybody who's considering going into business for themselves. Mm-hmm. This is advice I gave to my kids when they went off to college. I said, go find something that you love doing and then try to figure out how to get people to pay you to do it.
Right.
And the same thing with a franchisee. They need to think about what would be fulfilling for them in life.
Right.
If you love children. And you do believe that every child should know how to swim. If you like being part of a community and being recognized in the community, I mean, I go into the Safeways or the Home Depots, and I've got people who say, hey, Mr. Gary, how you doing? I've got kids who are pointing to me and saying, he's my instructor.
That's great.
That's really rewarding to me in a manner that corporate America couldn't provide for me.
Right.
To know that I'm doing something constructive for the community. So I would say that's number one. Number two, I would also do your due diligence and make sure you're looking into an industry that has some staying power. You know, if you were looking at doing VCR tapes 15, 20 years ago, a Blockbuster or Hollywood Video, not saying anything disparaging about that, but that industry's gone.
Right.
Kodak Film has had to morph and get into something different. But our marketing, one of our taglines is, as long as the earth is still two-thirds covered with water, and as long as the human race keeps making babies, somebody's got to teach them how to swim. And that's going to be us. So I think if I'm making a pitch for Kids First Swim Schools, I'm telling you it's a very rewarding business if you like working with children. And you're providing a service that we absolutely believe they need, and we're not going to be replaced by technology. Nobody's going to produce a disc or a CD that's going to teach your child to swim. You got to get in the water with the child, and you got to. It's a hands-on. It's a hands-on process.
Wow, that's a great response. It's very, very powerful. And it's interesting, Gary. You know, because you probably could have got into. You know, after your success in corporate America, you probably could have got into almost any industry you wanted. And, you know, and that's why I really appreciate your advice is really, you know, going into something that you are passionate about, you know, and you were drawn to, you know, this industry from such a young age, you know, and I think that probably has led to a lot of your success as well, because you're doing something you truly love to do, aren't you?
Yeah. So, I mean, last night I was down in Laurel, Maryland. I still like to keep my hands in the developmental swim teams that we have at each of our locations. And over this six-week period right now, I'm visiting 18 of our schools, and I'm conducting practices for their developmental swim teams. So just as much for the kids and as much for the instructors as it is for the kids, because the instructors have to see how a true swim coach would conduct a practice. And so far the feedback I'm getting is that everybody loves it and they want me out there more often. And so four nights a week, I drive off to, I guess the closest place to you would be up in Warminster, Pennsylvania. You can imagine that's going to take me 2.5 hours on the road to work 45 minutes an hour with the kids in the water. But I do it. I like to do it, and windshield time gives me an opportunity to return phone calls.
And that's where the passion really comes in, you know, because it's something that you enjoy doing, you know. So I think that's fantastic. And swimming is such a great exercise too, isn't it, Gary? I mean, you know, you've been, you know, doing it your whole life, you know. But, you know, I always remember my high school swim team. I mean, you know, the players were always in such great shape, you know, and I said, God, how do you look like that? You know, I mean, so it really is fantastic exercise because you're using your whole body, aren't you?
Yeah, and it's funny you say that. We recently, within the last week, signed a contract with an outfit out of Northern Virginia that is going to use our pool. And what they are doing is they are training NFL prospects for the NFL combined. And what they're doing is they're working them out on land drills, and then they want to bring them into an aquatic environment so they could do low-stress cardio work with them. And
right.
They've just signed a 10-week contract to be able to work these athletes in our Chantilly, Virginia location. And I would say to any prospective franchisee out there that the trick is we just don't do swimming lessons for children. I mean,
right.
Like the airline industry wants to keep their aircraft in the air at all times. Well, we want to keep our pools filled at all times. So we do quite a bit of adult fitness. These pools are very conducive for the geriatric crowd. It's conducive to the ones that want to come in and get a cardio workout. We have physical therapists that come in and use the pool in the afternoon. We're doing birthday parties, warm water birthday parties, which you can imagine this time of year. Our pools are,
yeah.
are 90 degree water, 92 degree air. You have to keep your mind open to all different opportunities. And when this NFL group came to us, that was like, sure, we'd love to have you.
That's terrific. I was watching Rocky III the other day, Gary, and in part three, he was actually, I guess Apollo Creed wanted him to start swimming, and he's like, well, I never did this before, you know, and it didn't make any sense to him, you know, but, you know, you can see, you know, how it helped him in his training, you know, preparing for his fight, you know, and, you know, so I really think it's a great physical activity. What types of characteristics do you look for, Gary, in your franchisees? Does anything stand out or anything you look for in particular?
Well, you know, obviously we want people who love children, really
right.
are interested in getting involved
yeah,
with children.
Important.
You know, if because there are certain principles that are part of our culture that, you know, we have to ensure we work very, very hard to make sure that our managers practice those cultures. And so we would want to make sure that, you know, especially as we grow the franchise side of the business, that the franchisees are also committed to those principles. And the number one principle is you have to love children. And so
right.
that's what we're looking for. Number two, we want people who are willing to grow and are open to ideas and suggestions or who are people that can bring ideas and suggestions to us, because I don't necessarily feel I've got all the answers even after all these years. People
right.
come to me with this idea or that idea, and it's like, well, let's try it. And sometimes they work out. And when they work out, that becomes, you know, in corporate America, we call them best practices. And in our culture, we want to take those good ideas and put them and make use of them if, in fact, it's going to add to the business. So we want
to be.
It's
going to be interesting over the course of time, you know, as the franchise, you know, expands, you know, towards the West Coast and throughout the country, you know, some of the ideas that, you know, because in speaking to you, I could see, you know, and I think it's great that you are so open to, you know, other ideas, you know, even like McDonald's. You know, had some fantastic ideas from their franchisees, you know, and I could see that you're very open to, will be very open to ideas from your franchisees as well, won't you?
Yeah, and that comes from my corporate years.
Right.
I've worked with kinds of companies during the corporate years, and I've worked for very hierarchical companies where people stood around and waited for the boss to say something because the organization was being run on the one strike and you're out concept.
Right.
And those cultures are robbed of, you know, they're robbed of their energy and their initiative. And so, but I also work for some very good companies. Those are the companies that we want to model it after. We are not a finished product. We are not a finished product. There's going to be a lot of changes that are going to be made in the next 20 to 50 years. And I don't know where those ideas and those concepts are going to come from, but they're probably going to pull up from the bottom, Things don't happen from the top down. They always happen with the people that are dealing with the problems.
Yeah, that's very powerful. How does the training work, Gary? I mean, once you decide, you know, you do like them, they like you, and they do come aboard as a franchisee, where does the training typically take place at headquarters? Is that how it works?
We have a mixed approach. There's some formal training. There's 2 weeks where they come in. The first week is mostly classroom training and the curriculum, why we do what we do. We'll go through financial modeling. I'll show them how to build a business plan, how to build a budget. We go through that with them. But then the second week is more practical. They're out in the schools, working with the managers, seeing how it happens on a day-to-day basis. But then we're going to be with that franchise the first week they're open. We're going to have our training and development people in the school to help them and answer any questions they have. And then beyond that, I don't see the franchisee as being any different than one of our corporate schools. We want them to be operating at maximum efficiency, but also providing the service in to the quality standards that is Kids First Swim School. And so we do, even though the franchise agreement might say we can charge you up to $500 an hour to send somebody out there to work, we've never, ever charged anybody like that. That wouldn't be in my best interest to do that. Anything that would turn a franchisee away from asking for help is not in my best interest. And so if unnecessary fees are being tacked on and that becomes a consideration for the franchisee, in my opinion, that's just wrong. That's wrong. Get rid of it.
Agreed. Yeah, that's well said. So where do you see the company? I mean, if you could look into a crystal ball, Gary, you know, maybe, you know, 10 years down the road, you know, where do you see the franchise?
Well, you know, the company as a whole is going to continue as long as I have the energy, and I'm a young 63, I think. Mm-hmm. And as long as I have the energy and I'm building a leadership team underneath me, that shares my vision, we're going to continue to grow. We right now are probably the largest outfit doing what we do in the world. But we want to take that. A long time ago, this was probably my ego speaking, I said, I want to be the McDonald's of swimming instruction. And I've never kind of lost that vision. Now, we're going to grow it two ways. We're going to continue to add 3 to 4 to 5 corporate schools a year, depending upon the profits in any given year. And then we're also looking now to add 4 or 5 franchises a year. So, I mean, you can do the math. If we're adding 10 a year, 5 years from now, we'll be approaching 100 schools. 20 years from now, we should have 250, 500 schools, something along those lines. There's no ceiling, I don't think, for this company, you know, other than we need to have – it has to be controlled growth. I've learned my lessons a long time ago about what happens when you're out of control and you're just adding on – you know, the infrastructure of this organization has to grow along with the size of the company. And the infrastructure for the organization cannot grow if I can't find quality people and get them trained to do that job. So it's a feel sort of thing right now, but I think we can handle 3 or 4 more corporate schools right now and 4 or 5 more you know, franchise schools. And then we'll see what how the leadership team grows here. But as it grows and matures and develops, I think that's going to give us the opportunity to 10-20 years from now have something significant.
Do you see it going international at some point, Gary? Because why not, right? I mean, this is really an international concept too, isn't it? You know, so I mean, if you were at a franchise show and someone approached you from another country, you know, do you see it going global at some point?
Yeah, in fact, we've already explored that. We spoke with a party out of Dubai, and but what we thought, it's harder for us to control a franchisee in Dubai than it is, for instance, the one in Canada. So what we did is we thought through the process and we came up with a licensing agreement. And we will license our name and our curriculum to them. But the level of support isn't going to be the same as a franchise that's located in, say, Pittsburgh. So, but yes, we have thought about international. There are some international players out there, but they have a different model. British Swim Schools is one of the big ones, but they tend to use a lot of these schools. These other franchisees don't build a dedicated facility. They use general purpose pools, and you know, general purpose pools is not the right way to teach a child how to swim. You know, you wouldn't teach a child to play basketball on an adult basketball court. And you wouldn't teach a child to go out and play golf on an adult golf course. You know, so you don't teach a child to swim in a general purpose pool. 3 feet of water is too much for a 4-year-old. And so our pools start at 2 feet deep. I mean, they're specialty training pools, and they're designed to get a 4-year-old in the water. So by age 5, they ought to be safe around the water.
That's terrific. What's the best way, Gary, for our listeners to get more information on Kids First Swim Schools as a franchise opportunity and even the service itself? Are there any websites that you would like them to go to?
Yeah, we have you can either go to our corporate website, which is kidsfirstswimschools.com, it's plural, or you can go to you can go to our franchise website. There's a link between the two of them, but Kids First Franchise Company, Inc. is the name of that company.
That's fantastic, and I've really enjoyed speaking to you today, Gary. I think you have a great franchise opportunity, and I'm going to continue to follow your franchise and invite you back, you know, in the next year or so as you continue to grow, because I think this is terrific.
Yeah, thank you, Marty. I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me today.
This has been my pleasure, Gary. And we'll be right back with more franchise interviews.
Coming up on segment two, you're going to hear what every franchisepreneur needs to know before buying a franchise. We're going to play a clip from our popular Great Quotes in Franchising podcast right here on Franchise Interviews.
Are you looking for a franchise that delivers? Businesses will always need shipping, and for more than 25 years, loyal customers have depended on Unishippers for reliable savings and exceptional customer service. Unishippers is focused on just one thing, helping small and medium-sized businesses save time and money on all their shipping needs. And as the largest reseller of complete shipping services in the country, we have the buying power to ensure that we succeed. The Unishippers franchise offers low startup costs, no equipment or real estate required because they're not retail, residual income, and a quality of life and work-life balance. For more information on becoming a Unishippers franchisee, go to www.unishippers.com and click Franchise Opportunities or call Franchise Development at 801-708-5822. That's 801-708-5822. Franchisers, are you looking to reach aspiring entrepreneurs looking to buy a franchise? Are you looking to reach a highly educated audience on franchising? For over 8 years, Franchise Interviews has been giving an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising. Our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts and attorneys, and our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919. That's 610-905-2919.
Today's Great Quote in Franchising is being brought to you by
Franchise Teacher.
Would you like to know how to franchise your concept or grow your franchise business?
Meet the experts at Franchise Teacher.
The goal of Franchise Teacher is to teach, coach, consult, and advise. The team of experts at Franchise Teacher will evaluate your business model and present you with a winning business strategy.
Franchise Teacher will help you decide whether or not your concept works and if it's franchisable. Franchise Teacher is proud to have over 30 years of experience in franchising as both franchisees and franchisors.
Franchise Teacher are developers of over a dozen franchise systems, which include brick and mortar as well as home-based concepts of nearly 3,000 combined franchise locations.
Whether you need to add more units or get more customers, Franchise Teacher can help. We will teach.
Franchise Teacher will help you learn our proven system.
Coach.
Franchise Teacher will help you provide a game plan to succeed.
Consult.
Franchise Teacher will make sure you stay on track.
And advise.
Franchise Teacher will help you learn from our over 30 years of experience in franchising as both franchisees and franchisors. Take advantage of our free, no-obligation phone consultation. Simply go to franchiseteacher.com or call us at 561-385-3032.
That's franchiseteacher.com or call us at 561-385-3032.
Hi, everyone. This is Marty McDermott, the president of Franchise Interviews, and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising, where each podcast you get to hear a great quote in franchising. You know, we've been hosting Franchise Interviews many years now, and during that time, we've had some incredible quotes and lessons on our show. And if you go to our About Us page on franchiseinterviews.com, you'll take notice on why we started the podcast and radio show Franchise Interviews, and it suggests that every business has a story. And that's really been our experience in doing all these podcasts and radio shows. Is every show we do, you'll notice that every franchisor, every franchisee has an amazing story related to franchising. Today's Great Quote in Franchising podcast comes from Tony Luffy. And Tony Luffy is the Chief Executive Officer of the Marlou Investment Group. And the Marlou Investment Group are franchise owners of some very popular franchise systems such as Little Caesars, Sizzler, Jack in the Box, Arby's, Church's Chicken, and most recently Sears Appliance and Hardware Stores. And Tony talks about the difference between opportunity and regret. There's another great quote relating to opportunity. And again, we talk a lot about opportunity on our weekly radio show. It's said that luck is when opportunity meets preparation. But let's hear what Tony says about the difference between opportunity and regret.
That we've been able to do on a large scale.
It's amazing. If you go back to the beginning, Tony, I mean, were your goals, today, you're as large as like 200 plus units, but I mean, back then, I mean, when you go back to the beginning, I mean, was that your goal in the beginning, or was this kind of like a natural progression over time?
It's both. Really, when I, in the early 90s, when I finally became a partner, a 10% partner of a small company, I wanted to get to 50 units before I turned 50. So I don't know if that goal was really feasible in my head, but that was the dream. But the goal, the most important part of it was I wanted to be an entrepreneur, I wanted to be independent, and I wanted to allow my ability to manage people and work with people to develop into something that was bigger. I didn't know the size, nor did I plan for it to be a number of revenue, whether it's 10 million or 5 million, whatever it was.
Right,
it was
right.
Really finding a way to make a living and support my family at the same time satisfying my personal need, which is to be an entrepreneur. And really, once that took place, it was more about the opportunities that came our way. And I always say the difference between opportunity and regret is being ready. So if you're ready, you see the opportunity as an opportunity. Otherwise, you spend a lifetime regretting the fact that you missed the opportunity. So to me, it's about being ready. And I've always worked so hard to make sure that we are ready for whenever that opportunity came our way.
That's fantastic. We have this great quotes in franchising podcast. We're gonna put that quote in there, Tony, if you don't mind. I think that's very powerful. Maybe we could talk a little bit about your company. I mean, the Marlou Investment Group.
If you'd like to hear that whole interview with Tony Luthy, all you have to do is go to franchiseinterviews.com, and you can go to our franchises listed alphabetically page and simply go to the Marlowe Investment Group, and you can hear that whole interview. We have that interview also in our About Us page, and you can go to Franchise Interviews by category as well and go under the food category, because that's where most of Tony's franchises are located within his portfolio. And lastly, we'd just like to thank everyone for making this podcast such a tremendous success. It's amazing how many people have listened to the podcast over the years. So it's really been wonderful. And we'll see you again soon with another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising from Franchise Interviews. Take care, everyone.